Teacher burnout is unfortunately a common experience for many. But did you know that your burnout is unique to you, and how you overcome that burnout depends on what kind of burnout you're experiencing, and more importantly, that you can overcome that burnout? This week, I'm joined by Amber Harper, who shares how she used her teacher burnout experience as a catalyst for change and how you can too. Amber Harper is a kindergarten teacher, author of Hacking Teacher Burnout, podcaster, and teacher burnout coach. She gives struggling teachers a path to follow as they navigate their way out of burnout by helping them grow through their burnout and take their next best steps toward what they want from their career in education and in life. You can learn more about her and the services she offers at www.burnedinteacher.com. Here's Amber.
Welcome to the Teacher Time Podcast, a space where teachers are empowered to take control of their prep time so they can enjoy their time off guilt-free. You know how teachers are always working long hours? Here, we're changing that norm together by tackling your biggest productivity questions and planning challenges. I'm your host, Stephanie Kolevchik, kindergarten teacher, toddler mama, and your very own productivity mentor. I know what it takes to get your important tasks done so you can consistently work your scheduled hours as a teacher, and I'm sharing it all with you here. In this community, we believe that you can be an effective teacher without sacrificing your free time. So let's ditch that constant cycle of overwhelm for teacher time strategies that work. Why? Because your time matters.
Hey, teacher friend, welcome back to the Teacher Time Podcast. I'm joined today by a special guest that I'm so excited to have on here. Today, Amber Harper of Burned In Teacher is here, and she is such an inspiration. Amber, thank you so much for being here, and welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Stephanie.
I'm so excited to have you on and to have our listeners just hear more about your story and how you help teachers with burnout. But can you just start by telling us about yourself?
Sure. So I live in Northeast Indiana. I have two daughters with my husband, Jeff, who's an elementary school principal. And one is 21. She's a senior now. Gosh, it like pains me to say that she's a senior in college. It just blows my mind. And we have a freshman in high school and just proud public school parents. My husband and I have taught. I taught for 14 years. He's been in education a little over, gosh, he might be 20. He might be hitting 20 soon. And we love hiking. We love doing lots of things together. We love traveling. We love going to national parks together. We love exploring. And I always like to start with that before talking about, you know, how long I've been teaching, because those are the gifts that we feel like teaching have given us, you know, that ability to travel and do the things that we really love. So as far as myself as a teacher, I've been teaching for 14 years. I've taught grades first, second, third, and then now I'm in kindergarten. So, and not consecutively. And I have to be honest, I've left teaching twice and I've returned twice. So, but, I love teaching. And like I said, left twice, returned twice and tried other things and came back very intentionally in 2021 after leaving the second time.
Okay. Yeah. I want to dive into that because I think that's such a unique story. And especially because you help teachers with burnout. So I'm curious, like, how did all of that come about, like leaving teaching two times, coming back? Did burnout have something to do with that, being that you help teachers with burnout?
Oh, burnout had everything to do with it. I say all the time, I rode the roller coaster of burnout from my very first year teaching, and for many different reasons. So I'll give you the very shortened version of it. So I started teaching in 2007 in my very first classroom, first grade. And that very first year, I was burning out so hard. And that time was so hard because it was a toxic workplace situation. Mm-hmm. And it was really the team that I was placed with were very difficult for me to jive with and work with.
Yeah.
And so that was really, really hard for me. And then I was moved to a different grade level a couple of years later. And that was like mind-blowing to me how just moving down the hall can be like a completely different world. Yeah. And I was very happy there. Loved working in second grade, loved the team. We became really great friends. And from then on, again, giving you the very condensed version, it was like a roller coaster. Okay. There were things that happened in my personal life. There were things that happened in the school. I worked in this in my first school for 8 years. And I burned out over and over and over again, sometimes from overworking, sometimes from toxic relationships that I had where I was working. And it finally came to a head in the fall of 2014 with something that had nothing to do with teaching at all. That really was my rock bottom burnout moment. I had shoved a lot of these feelings, a lot of these, this negative self-talk. I'd kept a lot of this inside unless I was venting over bottles of wine with my friends. And in summer of 2014, we got a puppy and we lived only about 3 minutes away from the school and we were housebreaking him. We got him in mid-July, which was really dumb thinking back because we were still housebreaking him. And so since we lived close to the school, I went home every day when the kids were at recess to quickly let him out and then come back to school. And this one particular day I went home and this is a very human story. Like there's nothing pretty about it. He had crapped in his kennel, sat in it, rolled in it. It was a complete and total mess. Rather than it just being like, well, this is dumb. Well, I'm going to have to clean this up. I had a complete and total emotional breakdown. And I was so, and I quickly got him cleaned up, quickly got myself cleaned up, went back to school. I could not stop crying. I was hysterical. And like I said, my husband has been teaching a little longer than me. He actually taught in the same building as me for about 6 years. And he had just left to go to a different district for an admin position. I was in such a terrible state when I walked into that school. And we were a big team of nine third grade teachers at this time. And I was in such a terrible state that they thought Jeff had died.
Oh my gosh.
So imagine their underwhelm when they learned that it was just because my dog crapped in his kennel and sat in. Like that's, it's embarrassing, but yet it's really telling of what a low point I was at because it took that moment for me to hit absolute rock bottom and for me to realize that I had a lot of work to do. And I have to say this, you know, during this time I was getting pretty good sleep. I was drinking enough water. I was, you know, I didn't have my email on my phone. I was doing all those things that I thought was supposed to protect me from feeling these feelings and from feeling like I was hopeless and that I didn't know what I really wanted to do with my life. And I was doing all the quote unquote right things. And that was my moment where I was like, all right, no one's going to save you, Amber. Like you have to seriously change some things. And from that moment on, I did. I changed a lot of things, including where we lived. We actually moved within a year. I actually left this job at this school that like 2 months later and took on another position. That didn't work out. Ended up at a different district. All kinds of changes that I never believed were possible because of that moment that, again, had nothing to do with teaching. And like I said, that is the very short version.
Okay. I thank you so much for sharing all of that. And I think it's relatable because, I mean, sometimes it's something little, you know, and you maybe miss the signs in the moment. I mean, and that was kind of my next question. I'm curious, like, so you talked about this big like breakdown moment. Were there things looking back that maybe it looked like before that had happened that made you realize?
So, you know, it's called burnout, right? So it's slow. It happens over time. And looking back now, there were tons of signs. You know, I cried in my car to and from school. I was exhausted. Nights out with friends was us drinking too much and complaining about families or our principal or the teachers down the hall or whatever. Like there were so many toxicities that I was allowing into my life that were definitely not helping. I was exhausted. I was constantly feeling like I wasn't enough. I kept wondering like if this was what I was supposed to be doing, but then I would also have this argument with myself, like, what do you mean? You don't know if this is what you're supposed to be doing. You should be grateful. This is what you always wanted. So what's wrong with you? You're a really good teacher. Why would you not want to do this forever? Well, I just don't know if this is my thing to do. Well, why wouldn't it be your thing to do? And what else would you possibly do? You're just a teacher. Who's going to hire someone with a teaching degree? Like I would constantly have these nasty argumentative conversations with myself about my worth and my value and my future. And I joked and said, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up? And, mm-hmm. you know, to some degree, like that leaves a bit of mystery and excitement. But for me, it was like, I don't know. Why am I doing that? Like I had no reason to do what it was that I was doing, which was teaching at that time, third graders. So yeah, yes, lots and lots, like lots of signs and symptoms. Yeah. And it really, the reason I didn't change anything was because I told myself that I couldn't. Mm-hmm. I convinced myself that this was my life sentence of being a miserable teacher. Like I smiled on the outside. I was really amazing with my kids. But I was inside, I was obviously falling apart.
Yeah. But what's really inspirational is you created changes, you know, and you said something a couple of minutes ago. You said like, nobody's going to come save you. You know, you kind of realized in that moment. And so was that like kind of the moment that you decided to make some changes? And follow up question to that, what can teachers who are experiencing burnout do to begin overcoming that?
Yeah. Number one, I think the biggest thing that I should have done and that I would suggest to any teacher who is, especially someone who's suffering in isolation. Mm-hmm. Because although I vented and complained to my teacher friends, like there are a lot of teachers who do that. Mm-hmm. And it feels better in the moment, but it doesn't take care of the overall arching issues for you. And that for me, I really needed to identify my triggers.
Yeah.
This school that I was at, although I was really grateful that we lived so close to family and we lived so close to the school and our girls went to the same district and like we were all just very, very, you know, close there. It was not the right work environment for me. Mm-hmm. And I fought against leaving that school because like, why would you leave? It's so close. You know,
right.
I didn't want to feel like the pain, obviously, of making changes obviously seemed a lot greater than the pain that I was feeling working in that place. So my first suggestion is something that I should have done. And I did do after this time is,
sure.
Why are you feeling this way? Yeah. Like, what is causing this? How long have you been feeling this way? Have there been changes that have happened in the last months, year, in my case, 8 years? Have you had a new baby? Yeah. You know, we had this conversation when you were on my podcast, you know,
yeah.
We accept these changes as just part of life, but we sometimes don't accept the ramifications and the ripple effects that they have mm-hmm. on the rest of our life. And we can say up and down that we don't let our personal life affect our professional life and vice versa, but that's BS. That's not true. Like yeah. We can't do that. And not just because we're women, but because we're human.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so there were several things, you know, my trigger was I was afraid to admit I did not want to live in that town anymore.
Yeah.
But again, my family lived there. I'm super close with my family. It was super convenient. Where would we possibly move? And a lot of that had to do with our core values. We realized the more we talked about this, where we lived and where we worked did not match our core values at all. There was such misalignment. And you know, asking yourself, how long have I felt this way? How long have I worked here? How long have I worked in this building? How long have I been in this classroom? This literal classroom. How long have I taught this grade level? And backing up from there and really, you know, the first step of the burn-in process is beginning where you are. Like, how did I get here? And that was my biggest question that I had to ask myself over and over again for months. Mm-hmm. And even years, really, because this was in 2014. I started burn-in teacher in 2016.
Okay.
How did I get here? And what is my next step out of here? Because I chose to park myself here when I really could make some changes. I have to tell myself that I have to quit telling myself that I can't, because really what that meant is I won't, I'm not willing to do the work. So that was a really pivotal moment for me. I really did dive into self-help, personal development. Like I'm mm-hmm. not ashamed to say that.
Yeah.
And it changed my life. It changed my life.
I love that. It's kind of like I feel like the underarching like theme there is like, don't just accept it, you know, question it and make the changes that you need to make. And yeah. Okay. So that's the first thing, right? Then what?
Yeah. So what I would suggest next, if you've like sat down and really, and I always, and some people roll their eyes, are like, I don't journal. And I totally get that. Right now you might not, but that doesn't mean you can't. Mm-hmm. is brain dumping all of those things that I just stated, because getting them out from behind your eyeballs and in front of your eyeballs, those are two different things. And the more you do it, the more you realize, and really this is truly getting down to the root causes, that these, you know, conventional types of self-care will not get you to, right? So the next thing I really had to decide is like, why am I burning out? Like, is it because I'm working too much? No, it's not because I'm working too much. I figured out a really good workflow. I wasn't working all hours of the day like I used to when I first started teaching. That was for sure an issue. But is it because of toxicity? Is it because of negativity? Yeah, absolutely. So really identifying what type of burnout I was experiencing. And really, I did all of this work with trying to figure out like really what was it? Also, was I bored? Like, did I need a change, but I was afraid to make it?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. That was part of my burnout type. So turns out 2018, many years later, I actually created a quiz called the Teacher Burnout Quiz to help you to identify your burnout type, because not all burnout types are created equal. Our burnout stories are so deeply personal, and that's what makes it so hard to move through, because my burnout, you know, and I've experienced burnout even as a teacher burnout coach. Like it happens. Yeah. But the difference is that, you know, I'm able to identify, okay, is it because I've been working too much? Yeah, probably. So what do I need to do? Well, I need to be sitting down and making a time budget and really focusing on what I'm doing and when. So really identifying your type would be the absolute next step, because when we go to Pinterest, when we go to Google and we, you know, type, how do I cure? How do I fix my burnout? Like, you're going to get a list of the same things that are very, very, that they don't know who you are. They don't know what your triggers are. They don't know where you've been. They don't know your personality. They don't know anything about you. You know yourself the best. So really identifying that burnout type is a wonderful next step that's helped thousands of teachers to take action where they may not have, or they've taken action that would work for somebody else. They just didn't know it.
I love hearing you talk about this, and I completely agree with you. I mean, it all makes so much sense. Your burnout is personal to you. And so I love that you have a quiz that helps teachers identify their burnout types. We're going to link to that quiz in the show notes. So there's a couple of different burnout types that teachers can get. And then what happens from there when they take the quiz?
Yeah. So when you take the quiz, and it's totally free, by the way, helps you identify your burnout type. And then what I send you are specific steps that you could try to take for that type.
Nice.
And then what I suggest to teachers is to identify your burnout stage. So like, we know that there are stages that get us into burnout, right? There's like 12.
Yeah.
But what I've created are those stages to help you to move through it and get out of it. So identifying how burned out you are. So you can get that for free at my TPT store. You can go to burnandteacher.com/stages, again, free, just to help you to identify like, okay, where do I identify myself? I know my type now, but how bad is it? Am I a zero? Am I a one? Am I two? Well, your goal is to get to stage 5, which is a burned in teacher, right? And let me just say really quickly, burned in teacher does not mean you have it all together. It does not mean you're happy, sunshine, rainbows all the time. Okay. Yeah. What it means is that you really have done the work to know yourself, know what doesn't work for you, and to know what does work for you. And if you start to slip back into those old habits, mindsets, beliefs that are dragging you down, relationships even, that you're able to go, nope, no, that I'm not going there. And this is you talking to yourself, right? Because we are the only things that we can control in this life. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. So it really is meant to help you to say, okay, this is where I am, begin where I am, and to start to make steps to move forward and out. And that's why I say that, you know, burnout can truly be used as a catalyst for change and growth. And I really do look at it as an opportunity, because that's what burnout does. Like, burnout only gets worse if we kind of wallow in it and lean into it. And that's what I did for those first 8 years of my career. And it seems like such a waste, but I am really grateful for it, because it brought me to where I am now. And I'm able to help other teachers to give them a path where in the past, when I was looking for one, there was none. Like, you were doomed. You were doomed to a life of misery. And that was that hashtag teacher life, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that would be my next suggestion.
Okay. I feel like I could talk to you about this for hours because I wanted to go back to two things. I had two thoughts and you can let me know which order you want to answer them in. But I had two thoughts because you had mentioned unconventional self-care. And so I wanted to just jump back to that and hear about your thoughts on that. And then I really want to hear more about how you started Burned In Teacher. And I know, you know, you're the author of a book, Hacking Teacher Burnout. So I just kind of want to hear how that all came to be too.
Sure.
For our listeners.
Yeah, I'm happy to answer.
Yeah.
Sure. So first of all, the unconventional self-care. So like we all know about like the fun self-care, right? Like getting your nails done. I get my nails done. Yeah. I love getting my nails done. I sometimes love a good bubble bath. Yeah. I'm not a big bubble bath fan, but I will sometimes indulge in that. Uh-huh. You know, having a glass of wine or a cup of tea or, you know, numbing yourself by scrolling through Instagram or binging on Netflix. Like those are all really fun things, right? Like sure. That is self-care, you know, detaching, doing something nice for yourself, but all of those things can quickly turn into self-indulgences. Okay. And self-indulgences are not a good thing. They actually have detrimental effects on our overall well-being.
Yeah.
You know, we spend too much money on getting our nails done, our bank mm-hmm. account's low, right? Or we are using all of our time to binge on Netflix and scroll through Instagram, and we're not exercising, we're not taking care of our bodies, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of stuff. This is a whole nother conversation. But the self-care that I love to talk about is that unconventional self-care, that really hard self-care that's not fun, that's not sexy, that's not Instagrammable, because it's a lot of inner work. And it's a lot of like getting really down and dirty into the ugliness of where you're feeling your life is. And this is inside and outside of teaching, right? Mm-hmm. Because again, they bleed together. This is a lot about like really getting to know yourself. And, you know, a lot of times when I talk to teachers they'll send me an email, they'll say, I don't even know who I am anymore. I don't know what I like. This has been my life for 10 years. I can't do this anymore. We lose ourselves. Like we get completely fogged over mm-hmm. by teaching and the responsibilities and the, you know, obligations and the needs and the traumas that we see. And, you know, it completely fogs our clarity for who we are, why we're doing what we're doing, and what it is that we want to do next. So that's the kind of self-care I'm all about. That's what the book is about. And that quiz is the first step. So what you'll find in the book is not, you know, a list of bullet points of, you know, really fun stuff to do. It's hard stuff. I really do compare it to like wanting 6-pack abs. So like we could say all day that we want to have 6-pack abs, you know, sure. Maybe some people don't want them, but I think they would be really cool to have.
Yeah.
But you can't just snap your fingers and say, I want this.
Yeah.
And then you have it. Like we can't just say, I'm miserable. I don't want to hate my job anymore. Mm-hmm. And then it just happens. Like you got to do the dirty work. You got to have not just a vision. You have to have a plan. You've got to have incredible discipline and a lot of intention. And I know I'm speaking your language, Stephanie, with what you do with time management. It takes a lot of discipline to create new beliefs and new habits. And it takes a lot of consistency. You can't just mm-hmm. do it for a day. You can't just do it for a week. You can't just do it for 21 days.
Right.
It has to become a lifestyle.
Yeah. No, so, I completely agree.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so that's the kind of self-care that I talk about in the book and on the podcast.
I love it. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love hearing more about that. And I think that's the self-care that's going to make a difference. So you touched on the book a little bit. Talk to us about like, how did Burned In Teacher come about?
Yeah. So I truly believe that Burned In Teacher was born that late September afternoon in 2014, although I didn't know it yet.
Yeah.
Because that's where I really realized that I needed to become the hero in my own story. Mm-hmm. But burnedinteacher.com was born in April of 2016. And that was because I had, like I said, I left in 2014, mm-hmm. took on another role, different position outside of the school. It didn't work out. I ended up in a different district, different grade level in the fall of 2015.
Okay.
So I was out for 6 months mm-hmm. and started again, new school, felt like a failure. I was like, all right, I tried, I failed. So I thought this was a new beginning. it's not the new beginning that I thought it was going to be. And I was, again, I was miserable. It wasn't that I hated teaching. It really wasn't. It was that I just kept feeling like I was searching and I didn't know what I was searching for. And it wasn't until spring of 2016. And this was like a few months after we had decided to sell our house. We decided to sell our house in February of 2016. 3 days later, we sold it on Facebook. This was something that was just out of this world. It was after another evening of crying and my husband saying, "What do you want?" And I was like, "I don't want to live here anymore." And he goes, "Ghost white." I was like, "No, I want to live with you. I just don't want to live this. I don't want to live here anymore. We've got to get out of here. This is not the place for us." And he was like, done. I feel the same way. Let's do it. And we sold the house and had no idea what we were going to do. It was amazing. So that same spring, April, I went to a Google summit, didn't want to go. My husband said, "Go, you'll meet some new teachers, you know, in other buildings in this new district that you're in." I was like, "Fine, whatever." So I go, ended up being completely inspired. It was a Google conference. I wanted to become a Google certified educator. I wanted to become a trainer. I wanted to do the innovator thing. And I did it all. I reignited my passion for teaching by watching other people lead these sessions and keynote speak. And I thought, I want to inspire people the way that these people are inspiring me. Yeah. And I'm going to have to work for it. And that was where I really learned that in order for me with my burnout type, I was burned and bored. I was burned and over it. Mm-hmm. I needed to have something else to focus my attention on rather than just teaching. I enjoyed teaching, but I needed to enjoy something else outside of it. Mm-hmm. And I had goals and aspirations outside of teaching. And it made me a better teacher in the end, because I was really excited to try all these things that I was learning through becoming a certified educator and trainer. I was using these things with my first graders, which was really, really great.
Yeah.
So anyway, back up, same weekend, fell asleep on the way home from this weekend. We had a great time, and woke up in a start. And I thought, burn in teacher. It's the complete opposite of how I felt coming down here. So that's where burn in teacher really was born. The next day I bought the domain and I really started to blog about a couple of things. I blogged about what I was doing to become a trainer, as well as being really honest about my journey. So it started out as a blog, a Google blog, because I wanted to use Blogger.
Yeah.
So that I could say that I knew how to use it. And it's just really evolved from there. And again, so great. I never would have gone to that conference if I was at that other district.
Yeah.
I never would have done it. They weren't a one-to-one school, weren't a Google school. So again, like thinking back, I'm like, okay, I'm really grateful that I did that super incredible, embarrassing thing. I'm grateful that I left and I'm grateful that I returned, because now I know what I was put on this earth to do. I was put on this earth to teach. At least right now, that's how I feel. And if that changes in the future, then so be it. But I was also put on this earth to help teachers to move through what I felt was that life sentence of misery, and to help people to realize that you are so much more powerful than you believe that you are. And if your goal is to stay in teaching and to love teaching again, awesome. If your goal is to leave this school or this district, that's good too, if that's the best thing for you. If your goal is to leave teaching for right now, even for a little bit, then that's okay too. But you get to decide. And all of that came from my burnout. And that's why I believe that it's such a catalyst for change and an opportunity for growth.
That is so just inspiring. And I have absolutely loved hearing all of the tips that you shared, but just like your story and how you've come to help teachers. And Amber, I could keep talking to you for hours, but we'll kind of wrap it up now. And so we're going to link to that quiz. We're going to link to the stages that you referenced. And can you just tell our listeners where else they can connect with you?
Sure. Yeah, you can find me at burnedinteacher.com. You can email me at support@burnedinteacher.com and find me on all social media at burnedinteacher. We make it easy for you.
We'll link to all those places as well. So you can go connect more with Amber and listen to her podcast, the Burned In Teacher podcast. So thank you again, Amber, so much for being here. I have loved chatting with you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. If you loved what we talked about here and want to connect further, you can find everything you need on my website, www.teachinglittleleaders.com. And if you loved this episode in particular, share it with your teacher friends by taking a screenshot and posting to Instagram stories. Make sure to tag me at Teaching Little Leaders so I can see it and reshare. I'll see you next Tuesday. Have a fabulous week.